This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show. My thanks to Ryan Leaf, who filled in for me on Friday as I was at the Book Festival in Tucson, Arizona. We'll get to phone calls, as we always do, every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. It's Marv Madness. It's Merch Madness. And you can satisfy both of those. Go to danpatrick.com. New hats, hoodies, t-shirts, and also our best-selling flavors of tailgate moonshine available.
Moonshine Madness, Dan.
Moonshine
Madness.
Okay. The stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the program. Had an interesting poll question, or at least I thought it was, but apparently you didn't think it was, because we asked the best quarterbacking situation between Baker Mayfield staying with Tampa and Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh. Give us the final results of hour one, Seton.
Right now it's got Baker Mayfield is at 67%. Russell Wilson is at 25%. I threw in Mac Jones and Mitchell Trubisky just because why not? Mac Jones has 3% of the vote. Let's go.
Mac Jones going to Jacksonville.
That's a good signing for Jacksonville. Why not?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But maybe not for Mac Jones, because you're behind Trevor Lawrence and you're going to be a backup. And maybe he gets that opportunity. We see these quarterbacks who come in, high draft pick, they flame out, they serve as a backup, then they might get an opportunity to be a starting quarterback. And keep in mind with Baker Mayfield, he was good, and then all of a sudden the falling out in Cleveland. He was on the Carolina Panthers roster. He was part of the defensive team, the practice squad defensive team. I mean, talk about the fall from grace, all the commercials, number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, going to the Browns, and then all of a sudden you're on sort of the practice squad playing defense with Carolina. And then I think going to the Rams with Sean McVay kind of helped him reset, reprogram to where he should be, and then we saw what he did in Tampa. Good for him. You got humbled, you came back, you got paid. Russell Wilson, you got humbled, and now you're trying to prove that you can still be a starting quarterback. You get a chance in Pittsburgh. I like the move for Pittsburgh, because you're saying to Russ, you know, this isn't the old Russ. You're coming in. You have to look at this as you have to ingratiate yourself into our system, into our culture. This isn't about you. You don't get your own office. You may not get your own parking spot. Come in, ball out, and maybe you get a chance to play elsewhere, or maybe we re-sign you. But Russ going there, the potential upside, Pittsburgh doesn't have to pay him much, and you don't have to give up any draft picks. I like the move. I like the move for both of these teams. All right, Seton, what's the poll question for hour two?
Well, I'm trying to figure this one out, because I still wanted to stay with Russell Wilson.
Oh.
But Who just got the better opportunity? Russell Wilson or the Pittsburgh Steelers? They're each sort of taking advantage of Hull, I guess.
Yes.
Right?
The opportunity. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So who's getting the better end of that, maybe?
Well, it felt like the Giants were interested and the Raiders were interested in Russ. Now, I don't know how interested. I think maybe Pittsburgh was interested, and I'm trying to follow this, and I don't have confirmation on it, that Pittsburgh was interested, Russ was shopping that interest with the Giants and the Raiders, and then maybe that interest wasn't there the same level. He probably would have gone in as the starting quarterback with the Raiders. I don't know if the Giants would have started him over Danny Dimes. I don't know that. But we may never know. And then Pittsburgh said, come on in. And he probably was asking for some things, didn't get those things, and then realized this is a whole different situation here, Russ. At your age, Denver's picking up the tab here. We'll bring you in. We'll give you a chance. And this might be Mike Tomlin's last year in Pittsburgh. Yes, Seton.
I don't really seem to have a good read on who the Giants are as a team.
Neither do the Giants.
Well, I mean, the Steelers still feel like they have a very clear identity of who that football team is. They're just adding a piece to it. The Giants, I don't really know what the appeal would be for a free agent to sign there right now.
Well, I think if you're Russ, it's New York.
It's an opportunity for Russ. I get that. But even still, it's like,
I think Pittsburgh is an unbelievable opportunity for him. You have a Hall of Fame coach. You got a great defense. You got weapons. Now you come in and you can be the difference. Now, you might be the reason that you don't have a winning record in Pittsburgh this year, or you might be the reason why this team is a AFC title contender. I mean, that's pretty lofty with all the great quarterbacks you have in the AFC, but I do like that Russ is going there. He maybe didn't have other opportunities to start, and I think that was important. Yeah, Paulie?
The New York Giants have almost $50 million in cap space and the sixth pick of the draft, so it feels like it is a bit of a reset. They're not the worst roster in the NFL, but it's a reset.
You move on from Saquon Barkley. You still sign that stupid deal with Daniel Jones. But you got one more year that you have to eat, Paulie says. So you eat that, and then now all of a sudden it's a rebuild. And when you think about blue blood franchises, the Giants and Steelers are right there. That's tradition. You always expect them to have quality teams. But Pittsburgh has maintained that with Cowher and Tomlin. I mean, that's unprecedented to have that kind of consistency for, 30 years. Now you got to find a quarterback here. And do you have it in Russell Wilson? All right, 877-3DP show. Best and worst of the weekend. Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. We had some NCAA bids handed out over the weekend. Stetson, Longwood, Drake, and Morehead State. Sure. Out of those four schools, who has the best chance of winning a game in March Madness? I don't know anything about their rosters. All I know about Morehead State is they were in the same conference when I was at Eastern Kentucky, and Phil Sims played his college football there. Drake, that is Seton's. That's his team right there.
Oh, it's my Bulldogs.
They got 29 wins this year.
Come on, lad.
Drake loves Seton, and Seton loves Drake.
Heck yeah.
Longwood, I just like the name. Stetson, they're known as the Hatters. So, somebody might surprise somebody here. Drake with 29 wins. That's pretty impressive. I watched some of that game yesterday.
Your Stetson Hatters, 23-12.
Dude. Okay.
Not that you needed to know that.
No, I did need to know that because I didn't know that. I was wondering about the 2021 NFL draft with the news that Mac Jones is going to Jacksonville. Justin Fields is out of Pittsburgh. Out of Chicago. Trey Lance traded to Dallas. Zach Wilson is trying to find a team that wants him. And then you have Trevor Lawrence, who's in Jacksonville. There's still questions about, is he a great quarterback? Or is it just the potential to be great? But they're probably going to sign him to a long-term deal. This is what happens, it feels like, every draft or every other draft, where we look at these quarterbacks. And we go, oh, my gosh, what an unbelievable class. So you got Caleb Williams, labeled as a generational talent. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman. J.J. McCarthy, the national title. Michael Penix Jr. played in the national title game. Bo Nix, He revived his career with Oregon. And then Drake May at North Carolina, all projected to be first-round picks. So the potential is undeniable. Well, we've done this before. 2021 draft, Trevor Lawrence, can't miss, right? Zach Wilson, number two pick. Trey Lance, oh, an unbelievable 1 year when he was at North Dakota State. And Justin Fields, Mac Jones, everybody in the top 15. And as it stands now today, Trevor Lawrence is the only one who's probably going to be with his team through the entirety of his rookie deal. Every draft class is different, but 2021 should be that subtle reminder. It's really, really difficult to evaluate a quarterback. Yeah, Paulie.
Some of the non-quarterbacks that went in that draft, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, went 5 to Cincinnati. He seems like he's cruising on his way to the Hall of Fame. Micah Parsons was taken 12th, yeah. And a lot of people questioned it. You could find some reports like he was a middle linebacker for a lot of his career. No one really thought of him as a rush end or an edge. But not a lot of people love that pick at the time by Dallas at 12.
I remember coming in, I think it was that Monday after the draft, or maybe it was leading up to the draft, and my source, who's a scout, said, the most talented player in the draft is Micah Parsons. The question is, will a team find a position for him? And there might be some off-the-field issues as well. But he's the most talented player. This is the same scout who said the best player in the draft when the Colts drafted the offensive lineman out of Notre Dame. Quentin Nelson, and my source said, hey, this guy's an animal. He'll be a Hall of Famer. I go, wow, okay. Quentin Nelson is probably headed to the Hall of Fame, and Micah Parsons has turned out to be a dominating player. All right, let's see. I mentioned last hour, if you can set this up. Now, every time with March Madness, there'll be times when Indiana versus Texas Tech with Bob Knight against his former school. Like, March Madness, the selection committee, it feels like they got a sense of humor. When you go, UMass versus Kentucky as John Calipari goes against his former school. That, to me, if you can do it, now the women's selection committee has to do this. LSU and South Carolina have to be on a collision course, as they were yesterday. And I have to have Iowa play USC. I have to have Caitlin Clark versus Juju Watkins. Just do. And then you throw in, you know, Connecticut, Paige Beckers, everything she's gone through. There's a lot of storylines there with the women's brackets. But, you know, the thing is they stay for 3 or 4 years and usually stay at the same school. Therefore, there's some familiarity. With the men, how many men's players can you name? How many players would be playing in the tournament? Zach Edey. We know Kyle Filipowski because he plays at Duke and he just tripped a player at Carolina. And there's some talented players. I get it. But there's no player that's must-see TV. Now, Zion, was Zion the last must-see TV guy in the men's bracket? I'm guessing. We haven't had that many. There's good players, absolutely. But when you consider the NBA and where are the best players in the NBA are not from the United States. Even players who were in Canada, but you have players overseas. You have these players who are coming over here. We don't know who they are. We find out who they are. We were aware of Luka, but even Nikola Jokic, when he came over, when he was drafted, they went to a Taco Bell commercial. I mean, now, nobody was going, hey, we got to make sure we don't go to the commercial before they get the Joker because he's going to be great. Even Giannis. You know, go back. Dirk, you know. They thought he was soft. Then he, you know, had the trade with Tractor Trailer and the Bucks. I mean, look at all these players. We didn't know Ginobili, Tony Parker. And then they come over and they have Hall of Fame careers. These players that we see now in college and they come out and it's 1 year, they're not probably ready for it. Where these players who play in Europe, they're already professionals at 15. They're playing against grown men. And I think that's where... I mean, Zach Edey, I don't even know if that translates to the NBA. He's just, you know, a massive, massive kid, and he's really good. But he's really good in today's college basketball. There's no, man, that guy can shoot. He's, you know, Caitlin Clark type range. There's nobody like that. There's nobody where you go, oh, my God, you got to see that guy. Like, I want to see Juju Watkins play in the tournament. USC beat Stanford, and she didn't have a great game, but she might be the next leading scorer in college basketball history. She's that talented. Yeah, Paulie.
But you're so right. There's no established storylines. Caitlin Clark wasn't a star as a freshman. Paige Beckers was the player of the year as a freshman. Nobody really covered Clark until her sophomore year. We talked about her a little bit. We saw her in the Big Ten tournament. But if a guy like Zion Williamson stayed 2 or 3 years, he would own the sport. And he was in the sport before NIL. He technically, air quotes, didn't get paid to be a Duke. Trying to be polite. only trip down was a bag of cash.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What if Kyle Filipowski was Kyle Filipowski III? That'd be so great, wouldn't it be? Trip Filikowski? I got to look it up. If he's Kyle Filipowski III, we got something.
Oh, wow. Trip Filipowski. All right. Odds to win March Madness. If you said Connecticut, you'd be correct. Then it's Houston, Purdue, Tennessee, Arizona. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. I'm going to throw out a team. If I was going to place a bet, and I don't, but on the gambling podcast, this was brought up. This team to make the Final Four. Men's Final Four. Would you guys like to take a guess? The school that I would probably, I don't know what the odds are. Might be 25, 30 to 1. Marvin, you already know the answer to this.
I think I do.
Okay, but don't say it. Paulie, which school do you think that I, if I was a gambler, would put some money down on this team, this school, to make the Final Four?
Can you give me the half of the country?
No.
I'll go Utah State.
Right. Seton O'Connor, what school do I think is sneaky to go to the Final Four?
Marquette.
All right. Todd.
Ohio State.
Marvin?
Is it Kentucky?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Why do you do this to yourself?
I know, but I can't do it. I can't take Arizona this year because I've taken Arizona before. And as I told the folks in Tucson, your Arizona Wildcats basketball team is similar to the Chargers. I always fall in love with them, and they always break my heart. And this year, I'm not going to do that. But I would take Kentucky. Kentucky will probably have 4 first-round draft picks.
Per usual.
They have a couple of bigs, and I don't know. They're under the radar. I would probably go Kentucky to make the Final Four. I don't know what the odds are. Maybe we could see if DraftKings has odds on Kentucky to make the Final Four. I'd probably take them to win the national title if I was looking to make some money. Yes, Marvin.
If you're a Kentucky fan or Kentucky booster, when John Calipari says, I have this many millions of dollars in contracts for my former players, how angry are you? Because at Kentucky, they don't care about the $100 million contract in the NBA. They care about national championships, and he has won.
Yeah, that would bother me that, okay, look at all of the success my players have had in the pros. And then if I'm a Kentucky fan, I'd go, how much success did they have here, coach? Yeah, Paulie.
I see what you're saying, but John Calipari does not control the one-and-done rule. He's recruiting the best players in America. He usually gets them, or a semblance of them, a few of them. He can't make them stay. Even NIL can't make them stay. He's kind of in a no-man's land of... He could go like what Virginia does or Villanova and get the second-tier guy who stays 2 and 3 years and make yourself more relevant in March. But I don't know what he can do there. He's in. Calipari can't pass on the...
Yeah, but you don't have to take every five-star that you know is going to be one and done, that having a little consistency at certain positions, I think that... I mean, what's it come down to? It's always guard play. Guard play, hit your free throws, can you shoot the three? I would still have a little consistency there instead of, man, this guy's going to help us here.
I think you're right. I think like guys like Coach K 5 years ago and Calipari would love to have people for 2 and 3 years, but how are they going to pass when the fifth, you know, high school player says, I want to play for you because you're a conduit to the pros. It's almost like he can't pass on these guys. He's created his own monster, Calipari.
Yes, but he's also, he thinks he's getting the solution, but it's also the problem, not the solution. I got these guys who are one and done. By the time that they're, you know, maturing, when they're ready, you know, to go, it's after the tournament. You know, it feels like they're there for 6 months, but having somebody or a couple of players that are around for 2 years or 3 years, I think that could be so beneficial to these players. Because we've seen they've had more talent than anybody, and they've had one title. And what is the common denominator? And that is the one and done. Kentucky is plus 450 to make the Final Four, plus 1,800 to win the title, that according to production assistant Ray with DraftKings. P.A. Ray. Yes, Marvin.
You know what? It's tough because Calipari's big recruiting tool isn't what happens in March.
Yeah, you're right.
It's what happens in June.
Yes.
When he's going from table to table, like, oh, congrats. You guys are rich now. You guys have generational wealth. Those kids that are coming in from high school, they're not really concerned about the tournament. They're concerned about if they get drafted or not.
Well, yeah, you're right. So, you're right.
It's like a gap year before the pros, you know? Yeah. It's like, all right, I got 1 year of training, yeah, and then I'm ready to.
Yeah. Is this going to be the same thing this year with Kentucky? Yeah, Marv.
But they don't have, like, the Anthony Davis level type players this year, I don't think. Maybe
no,
I'm wrong.
They don't, but I think they have an interesting roster, balanced roster. But I would take a chance. If you said, hey, you can have Kentucky to win the title at those odds, I'd say, yeah, I'd put down a dime on it. Maybe not a dime. That's a little too much.
Balling? A whole dime?
You are a baller.
Kentucky plus 450 to make the Final Four. I might put a dime down on it. I'm not telling anybody, do not put a dime down on it, and then call me up and go, you said to put a dime. There's a disclaimer here. I don't gamble anymore. Or any less. The guys on the gambling podcast keep trying to, you know, go, hey, this is the week. I go, no, it's not the week. No, not going to happen. All right, running late here. Take a break. And we'll get the phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you ours coming up next. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. Good morning to our radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and over 400 cities that carry this program. Our best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'm going to start with you.
Best in Detroit Saturday night. Luka Doncic became the first NBA player with six straight 30-point triple-doubles, surpassing Russell Westbrook, finished with 39, 10, and 10.
Also, and then they were chanting, Luka sucks. So the Pistons crowd had the audacity to say they were chanting that during the game.
That is a little ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
He extended his own record with a fifth straight 35-point triple-double, final 142-124 Mavs. Worst of the weekend, it was mentioned earlier. After the Tar Heels waved goodbye to the Cameron Crazies in a taunt-like fashion following Saturday night's win at Duke, Blue Devils fans responded by throwing water, empty plastic bottles. Even a gumball was reportedly fired at one of the UNC players. Kyle Filipowski may or may not have purposely tripped Carolina's Harrison Ingram during the first half. Stay classy, Durham.
All right. Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
Taunt-like fashion was a ska band from the early aughts, if I'm not mistaken. My best, I'm going to go double Oscars for my best and worst. My best of the weekend, Jimmy Kimmel finding new ways to continue the Matt Damon bit going is absolutely hilarious. So Jimmy Kimmel has always had this running bit on his show where they never have time for Matt Damon and he's bumped at the end of every show. And then he sneaks it in at all of these other places. And last night, the Oscars ended with him, Jimmy Kimmel, saying goodbye, thank you to everybody. And they went to a video of a dog lifting its leg on Matt Damon's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That is awesome.
That is so damn funny.
So good. So good.
And it's like, even though it's like you forget that it's coming, and you're like, oh my God, he did it again. He got Matt Damon again. It's just, it is hilarious. My worst of the weekend was the In Memoriam.
Oh.
Which is always sort of a, well, not a highlight of the Oscars, but it kind of is. It's kind of where you're like, oh, let's see. Because you're always surprised. You're like, oh, man, I didn't know they died. Or, oh, yeah, they did die or whatever, this and that. But the way that they did it this year, they had two fellas singing that was sounded great. It was gorgeous, really beautiful. And they had the orchestra playing. Mm-hmm. And then they that was on, the guy singing was on one side of the stage. The orchestra was more towards the middle. Then they had a bunch of people dancing, like sort of, I don't know, like, interpretive dancing on the side. And by the time they were panned out so wide to get all of that in, the people who you were paying tribute to
couldn't read it,
was about the size of a quarter on the screen.
Oh, no.
And you're like, so who is that? Is that like whoever died? And then to make things even worse, there were so many people that died this year, they did like a video tribute for, I don't know, 20 people, and then they put 150 other names in small print all in the at the very end. Burt Young was like one of the last names on there. Ooh. How the hell are you going to disrespect the great Burt Young like that?
I don't like this, Rocco.
Thank you, Tom.
Gotta make my font a little bigger. Font it.
Yeah, Paul.
How about for the In Memoriam at the end of it? Because it's such a downer bit, production-wise. What if you brought up some famous celebrity who's still alive, shocking, like all of a sudden Dick Van Dyke runs out and he's 97 years old, yeah. Still alive, still here. Put about.
So we do the still alive segment of the Academy Awards.
Yeah, 3 years ago, Betty White runs out. I'm still here.
Abe Vigoda.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good call.
Marvin, how about, by the way, I loved the Billie Eilish song with her and her brother. And but sometimes, you know, when she starts to sing, it's just, it's like, so why am I here?
It was a pretty song, though.
Yeah, but it kind of a downer, I think.
Yeah, I brought the Kennergy, though. That was a hell of a performance.
Yeah. Why am I here? Marvin, best and worst of the weekend.
Best, number one, Houston, blowing out number 14, Kansas, with our friend Jim Nance in attendance.
Hello, friends.
Yep, they showed him a little love.
Yeah.
And worst of the weekend, Kayla Ard, the women's head coach at Utah State. This got awkward. I got sound for
it. Okay.
And how do you plan to rebuild for next season?
I'm not going to be rebuilding. I just coached my last game at Utah State. I spoke with Diana, and they're going in a different direction, and I respect her decision, and I hope they get a really good coach in. I'm assuming that's going to be the last question. All right.
Okay. Wow. She just told the media that she got fired. Okay. And I don't think there are any follow-up questions there. Yeah, Paul.
I don't think I have a problem with that. She lost the game. The AD walks up, and before she gets blindsided by it, she gives her a heads up of what's going to happen instead of going to the press conference, answering a bunch of questions about the next season, and then being fired in the bus 10 minutes later. I think that's
kind of like when Herm Edwards was fired at Arizona State. Was it right after the game, walking off the field, when the athletic director came up and fired him?
People were watching.
Do you have another one, Marv?
No, that was worse enough.
Okay. Paulie, best and worst of the week.
This is a great one. We'll be tracking this story. Our buddy Joey Votto, the former slugger for the Reds, he is now a Toronto Blue Jay. He signed a minor league contract the other day. As we speak, he's taking BP at the Blue Jays complex.
No, I like that.
Wherever that may be.
I like that.
And he's a hometowner. He's from Toronto.
Yeah.
Worst of the week. I don't know if this is worst. Actually, it's weirdest. John Cena did a bit with Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars where John Cena was supposed to be a streaker. They're going to pay back David Niven being streaked upon years ago. And then they did a bit where Cena's not ready to do it. He kind of looks like he's naked because his shoulder's sticking out from behind the stage. He walks out. He's butt naked. He's got a placard in front of him and then some type of like little floss to keep things in check.
Mm.
But I saw some people saying John Cena was very brave and gutsy to do that. When you're in his shape.
Ballsy.
Yeah, ballsy. Oh.
No.
But when you're in his shape, you want a chance to show off that body.
Yeah. If I look like that, I'd walk around naked.
Like when Will Ferrell does that, that's gutsy.
Yes. Yes. Or Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad.
Sure.
Yes, Eaton.
It's a little desperate.
John Cena was desperate?
It was a little bit.
Ooh.
A little bit. His bit has become being the naked guy, the shredded, muscular, naked guy everywhere.
Well, in the movie Trainwreck with Amy Schumer, he's naked.
He is naked in that.
Yes,
isn't he
is naked. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's a little desperate.
Yeah.
Yes, no offense.
Yes, Marv.
You know what? Seen, I'm going with you. Because if you look like that, there's no risk. Because you look like how John Cena looks.
Well, if the placard falls, there's a little bit of a risk. If John Cena's pina is, you know.
Oh, okay. There you go. Bloop it.
Bloop, bloop.
It's gutsy no matter what shape you're in.
Yeah. I don't think it's that gutsy. I mean, you're John Cena. Basically, you go to work in tights.
We're seeing a lot last night.
Yes. Cena alone. Yeah, Todd.
I was kind of hoping Chris Hemsworth was going to come out naked. He was one of the presenters last night.
I wasn't hoping any
that
man
was
going
to
come out naked. I enjoyed the bed.
Awkward?
I wasn't hoping a man would come out naked.
Yeah.
Pretty hot with that Australian accent.
He looks
too.
Good naked, got to admit. It's true. It is true.
John Cena?
No.
Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Okay. Who do you want to see? With less clothes on, Chris Hemsworth or John Cena?
That old pull question.
Yeah. Whoa!
Unintentional. Killing it.
I thought it was funny, but then I think if you had a bad body and you did it, that would be funnier. Like Jimmy Kimmel doing it would have been funnier than John Cena. Like John Cena, all right, you got a great body, dude. Got it. But still, to go out there and do that, I thought it was pretty good. Yes, Seton.
By the way, the guys that I referred to that were singing the In Memoriam was Andrea Bocelli and his son.
Oh,
some randos.
Some guys.
Yeah.
Those guys.
There was a moment last night that announcing the winner for the best picture. Here is the legendary actor, Al Pacino.
10 wonderful films were nominated. But only one will take the award for Best Picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that. and I will. Here it comes. And my eyes see Oppenheimer. Yes. Yes. Emma Thomas, Charles Roman.
Hoo-ha! This is going to sound ageism, and it probably is. But when we get to these awards, certainly the end of the night when some of these people should be in bed, and Al's out there. I don't know if he can read, without his glasses on. And it's an important, this is the biggest moment of the night. It's the best picture. And we've already had Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway and La La Land. And then you have this situation here.
I had trouble telling whether Al Pacino were doing some type of scripted bit or he just was kind of goofing on his own, or because he seemed to be coherent and ready to go. It just is like he's like, now, after all these years, you're going to be subtle in your delivery? After years of going, oh, ha-ha! You know, like he's been doing that for years, and now he just kind of blanked it out.
Yeah, I don't think he was in on the act there.
I can tell.
I just think he was like,
I'm going to go to the envelope.
Yeah, and my eyes. The audience doesn't even know how to react. They're like, your eyes see Oppenheimer. Okay. And then all of a sudden they play the music, and then people are like, oh, okay. I guess Oppenheimer won. Yes, Marvin.
But I'm not sure if I want to use the whole they should be in bed excuse, because it was 7:30 in Los Angeles.
Some people that age should be in bed at 7:30. Hoo-ha.
It appears, I'm reading back a little bit on the details, Al Pacino was supposed to read all the nominees and just went right to the end. I was told that.
So that means you're not in on the bit. If you screw up, let's run down all
Go to the envelope. That's where all the names are written. Read that. And then open it.
They told me to say the winner.
Thank you, Todd. Yes. Yes, Marvin.
Now, you always have somebody super duper iconic and legendary present the Best Picture Award. Who do you think should present it? Maybe that's not too old. I don't want to be ageist, but like somebody in that iconic category.
Well,
but that's
I don't want them to embarrass themselves. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway have had an unbelievable career, but if I say Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, they go, oh, didn't they screw up the Academy Awards? Now, Al didn't screw it up, but he came close to. He didn't do it the way it's supposed to be done. Like Steve Harvey. When you bring up Steve Harvey, you might go, oh, yeah, he screwed up the Miss World pageant or whatever, calling the same.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's not Brazil.
Miss South America.
Yeah.
Those things stay with you. And I would hate for somebody to go, oh, remember that great actor Al Pacino? He screwed up.
La La Land.
Yeah. That would make me nervous, though.
You know what's funny, too, is that Jimmy Kimmel had just made a joke about, because Emma Stone, I think, won the award before, and he was like, hey, make sure you rip up that envelope because we don't want another La La Land. And then they threw it to Al Pacino, who messed it up. God, is it great.
Let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. We will talk to Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner from Entertainment Tonight. They'll join us coming up next hour. We're back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests, and in tournaments, to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Goodyear tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their Goodyear test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Couple of phone calls, even though Fritzy said, don't go to the phones. And I said, no, we should go to the phones.
Take a couple.
All right. Jeff in Oregon. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, GP. I'm going best and worst here.
Okay.
Best of the weekend. Best of the weekend. Major League Soccer. Portland Timbers, my beloved Timbers at NYCFC with a 97th minute winner. Evander ripples the net, very dramatic. But my worst, DP, I waited all week. Big Sixers guy. Couldn't wait for Sixers Knicks last night. And it was a slow crawl to nowhere. What a miserable turd of a basketball game. Very much anticipated, did not deliver.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Don't know if a game's been described that way before, but thank you. Jack in Michigan. Jack, welcome.
Thank you, Dan. Hey, I'm going to go worst and best. Okay. My worst, as it always is traveling from Florida to Michigan, going from temperature in the 80s to the 30s. And my worst is really thanks to you and the show. You had always talked about Cincinnati as being the home of wonderful chili. So I said to my wife as we approached Cincinnati, let's try some chili. So we went to Skyline, and it was delicious. And my question for you, have you ever had a three-way at Skyline?
I've had a three-way before, and I've had Skyline before.
Oh, no. Two separate things.
There's Gold Star chili and Skyline chili. Scalini's. I've had them both. And I usually do a three-way.
You go through the drive-thru and get chili and spaghetti?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes, that's what you
do. The craziest thing to me.
Oh, I know, but it's a big thing in Cincinnati. Yeah.
According to the menu, a three-way at Skyline is their signature dish. Steaming spaghetti covered with original secret recipe chili topped with a mound of shredded cheese.
Yes, that's
a four-way adds onions or beans.
Yeah.
And a five-way is onions and beans.
Yeah.
I'm here for all of that.
Jim in Ohio. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan. Danettes. Yeah, I'm a huge Votto fan. I live about 35 minutes from Cincinnati. I've had the privilege of watching Votto play for the last 13 years. Me and my co-worker, he's a Votto fan, too. We're a little concerned about Votto pushing empty grocery carts around, and we were thinking about picking up a collection for him, but then lo and behold, he gets signed by the Blue Jays.
Yep.
That's my best of the weekend because I was feeling sorry for Joey. And his interview with you on the show didn't help a whole lot. So I'm glad he's able to fill those grocery carts now with some food. My worst of the weekend is the same because I really was hoping that he would retire as a Red. So kind of a bittersweet event.
Yeah, but that was his choice. And, I'm fine with it. Now, the Reds had a choice, too, in this. You know, it wasn't just Joey didn't want to. If you're saying if he would have retired, then he would have retired a Red. Well, the Reds could have ensured that by maybe bringing back a year. But he wants to play and, you know, got signed a minor league contract with the Blue Jays. Justin in Florida. Hi, Justin. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, bud.
I drive a RAV4, not a yacht, even though I'm in Florida.
Okay.
I was wondering, what's the one sports story that broke after you went off the air that you missed the most?
So, I'm guessing in my entire career?
Whenever.
Oh, okay.
There's usually, every vacation that we go on, there's usually like, we'll be off for the week, and on Monday, somebody huge retires or like some like big thing will happen, but
yeah,
it's tough to keep track
nothing,
of those.
Yeah. Paulie's better at keeping track of my memories, but I can't. Nothing's coming to mind that we were off and I missed something.
I have one in my head, and I'm not sure with our vacation schedule. I think Andrew Luck retired on a Saturday because there was I think Schefter broke it on a Saturday. There was a preseason game on Saturday night. It was around like August 14th, 15th, a bunch of years ago. And I think we had the next week off.
Oh, we did?
I think, but okay. I'm not 100% sure on that one. That one stood out to me. It's like, oh, because it was a monster.
Is there a follow-up story on the South Carolina LSU game with the number of players suspended, and will they be able to play in the first round of March Madness?
Initially, during the game, during the broadcast, the broadcasters were given incorrect information. They were told that if you come off the bench, you're ejected from that game, which is true. And a bunch of players from both LSU and South Carolina were ejected. They were told that that meant they were ejected and were be suspended for the first round of the NCAA tournament. That was untrue because the players didn't engage the fight. They didn't like put their hands on people or start throwing punches or pushing people. They just left the bench area. It's almost like a two-part penalty, and they didn't have the second part of the penalty. So the bench players will be able to play in the first round of the NCAA tournament for both teams.
That would have been interesting if you had like a starting five and then maybe one person on the bench. Hey, you know, in a situation like that, I'd like to have seen Don Staley and Kim Mulkey both be able to play for their team if they needed them. Both great point guards in their careers. That'd be nice. That'd be fun. Kim Mulkey, I remember her when she played. She was tough. Don Staley was great, too. And they coached that way. Their teams sort of epitomized the personality of their head coaches. But, man, push came to shove. And then one of the women, her brother was coming out of the stands.
Yes, one of the LSU players.
And it's like, no. Coming to her rescue. Yes, Marv.
And I think the brother made a business decision. He saw how big the women were.
You think so? Like, no, I think they grabbed him before. I don't think.
No, I know, but he went out there. He was like, wait. First of all, what am I doing out here? So dumb.
Yeah.
Like, sit down.
I know.
That's the first thing I thought.
Yeah. All right. What's the poll question? Do you have an Oscars poll question for next hour?
We have a fresh Oscars poll question coming up momentarily.
Okay. Well,
that's a tease, Dan.
Okay.
It's not that good, so do you want it now?
Well, I've got 25 seconds to fill.
Okay, that's too good for that.
Oh, okay.
It is in the would you rather vein of poll questions.
Okay.
I used 7 or 8 times.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 2 hours in the books. We got one more to go. We'll go to Hollywood, Kevin Frazier, Nichelle Turner, the Entertainment Tonight co-host. They haven't been to bed yet. They'll recap the Academy Awards.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.